They're like to the team.
And my computer's a little bit, yeah.
Well, okay. I'll send you a chat.
Want to turn on the sheets?
Yeah, yeah, the chat. Anyway, in the meantime, I will. You can write the whole thing down.
Okay, welcome everyone. We're ready to start the meeting. First of all, I would like to acknowledge the Gugliyanji people, who are the traditional custodians of the land, and also pay respect to their elders both past, present, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who may be here today. First of all, I just also need to advise everyone that this meeting is being recorded. We've recently introduced a recording process, and so it's important that everyone is aware of that. So, attendance and apologies. Thank you, councillors. I can see that everyone's here, which is wonderful. And I actually just, before we start, there's two things that I just want to sort of briefly talk about and have respect. The first one is that we have a minute's silence for the passing of George Pitt, who was a former councillor of the Shire Council from 2004 to 2008. And so, if you join me in standing, I'd like to move this on. So before we proceed with the meeting, I'd just like to acknowledge the very sad loss of life that has occurred because of bushfires in New South Wales, and also to, I suppose, convey our thoughts and for our people at the moment, particularly today, who are facing an unprecedented bushfire threat. I know that the officials have described it in New South Wales. And it's the first first time that this type of rating has been used for the Sydney areas and south of the Sydney areas. We know that over 600 of our schools and TAFE colleges are closed. And that a week long statewide emergency has been included. And I know that we would all be very concerned about this. We know what it's like ourselves to face disasters. They are of a different nature. I certainly know that from watching all the TV reports over the weekend, many of our fellow mayors, my fellow mayors in Queensland, and also ones in New South Wales, are facing a very, very difficult situation, as are their councillors and their staff and their community. So thanks everyone for that. And now we'll go on to our items as listed in the agenda. And the first one is conflict of interest. And councillors, you know that I have sent through to you today that I will be declaring received conflict of interest in the open session item 5.5 and closed session 9.3 as defined by the section 175D of the Local Government Act 2009 due to being a council appointed director of tourism for Greater Stanger. However, I have determined that this perceived conflict of interest is not of sufficient significance that it will lead me to making a decision on a matter that is contrary to the public interest. I will best perform my responsibility of serving the overall public interest of the whole of the council's area by participating in the discussion regarding these matters. However, I acknowledge that the remaining councillors must now determine, pursuant to section 175E of the Local Government Act 2009, A, whether I have a real conflict of interest in these matters or a perceived conflict of interest in these matters, and B, if so, whether I must leave the meeting while this matter is discussed or voted on, or two, I may participate in the meeting in relation to the matter, including by voting. So councillors, as you're aware of declaring this type of conflict of interest, it's now up to you as a council group to determine whether I stay in the meeting, participate in the discussion and vote on the matter.
Well, I'm happy to move that you participate in the matter, in the meeting in relation to this matter, including the voting.
So you move that, Councillor Dolly, Councillor Airy, you indicate the second. I'll put this to the vote, all those in favour. Do we have any other declarations of conflict of interest? Councillor Dolly.
So my go now, not too dissimilar to yours actually. So I declare that I have a conflict of interest in the matter 5.2. Dunfermshire Community Service Association Community Christmas Day Lunch, because I am on board of directors. However, I determined that this personal interest is not of sufficient, personal material interest is not of sufficient significance that it will lead me to make a decision on the matter that is contrary to the public interest. I will best perform my responsibility of serving the overall public interest of the whole of the council area by participating in this discussion about this matter. However, I declare that the remaining councillors must now determine, pursuant to section 17.5.4 of the Local Government Act 2009, whether I have a real conflict of interest in this matter or a perceived conflict of interest in this matter. And if so, whether I must leave the meeting while this matter is discussed or voted on, or to whether I may participate in the meeting in relation to. So I neither gain nor lose anything by participating in this discussion or vote.
Thank you, Councillor Nolan. Yes, so someone prepared to move.
Yes.
So, any more conflicts of interest to be declared by councillors? No? Well, that's good. Okay. All right. So, now there's no Merrill meeting this morning. But just before, I'll just go back a couple of steps. I just want to welcome everyone more formally here. I want to welcome our CEO, Mr. Stormer, and all our staff. Certainly want to thank all the staff who worked hard to prepare the recommendations and reports that we're considering this morning, and also to welcome members of the gallery, thank you, and also members of the media. So we'll now move on to the confirmation of the minutes for the ordinary meeting held Tuesday, the 22nd of October. Do I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Nolan. Seconded, Councillor Kerr. Anyone have any issues or problems, comments on the minutes? Agree with them? That's good. Okay, I'll put to the vote. All those in favour? Thank you. So we'll now go into the agenda items as listed. And the first one is 5.1 Utility Broadcasting, Alexandra Bay. You'll note that yesterday I sent out an email suggesting that we defer the matter. I know that one of the officers has got some further information that she wishes to talk to us about. I think it's important that we have the opportunity to discuss that prior to the final decision. And so I will move that the matter be deferred. Do I have a second now? Thank you, Councillor. Anyone wishes to oppose? I'll put the matter to vote. All those in favour? So we'll now go on to 5.2, which is the Duckleshire Community Services Association Community Christmas Lunch. I have a mover, please. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Farrelly. Welcome. Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Zamataro.
Second.
I think, thank you, great.
Good.
Councillor Zamataro, can you just say a few words before
the recommendation? I think it's an amazing thing that we're doing. I just wondered if $500 enough. I don't know if that's going to cover, depending on how many people turn up for this.
Look, I can say some comments. I do know that the lunch has been going for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. It's very, very successful. This is the amount of money that was requested on the group. They do have some other contributions that I understand. And because it wasn't able to go under our other grant programs, it was suggested greater certainty to have a three-year agreement in relation to the lunch. But it's a good question. I'm not sure if officers have been talking to the association. You want to add a few comments, Mr. Farrelly?
Thank you, Madam. And yeah, that's correct. That's all I requested, the $500. And I do see some other support from local businesses and volunteers throughout the program. They're pretty happy with the three-year grant rather than four-year flying through a sponsorship program. So they were happy with what we provided. We have to know.
Does anyone wish to speak against? Any other comments, councillors? Questions? Okay. I'll put to the vote. All those in favour? So we'll now move on to 5.3, which is the Biosecurity Management Plan for Scales Program. I'll have a mover for this.
I'm happy to move and then we'll have a question.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Carey. Moved by Councillor Carey, seconded by Councillor. I'll second. Welcome, Logan. And so,
Bryce.
Sorry, Mr. Yeah. Creederman. Sorry, I can't move. I'm sorry about that, Mr. Green. I do work with the clerk. Would you like to introduce your colleague?
Mr. Everett, team leader of biosecurity.
Thank you. Welcome. I don't think the councillors have had an opportunity to meet before, so thank you. Right, so we've got this report in front of us, councillors, and Councillor Carey, because you moved it, certainly I want to open it up for you to make some commentary, but also you have indicated you've got a question.
No commentary, Madam Mayor. I understand we've got a biosecurity management plan already and have had for some time, and I can be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think it's commendable that we've had one in place for a number of years now. as I understand it though, this plan is now coming before the council because there's been some changes to the existing one. Although in the common, in the covering report for the plan itself, I think it's indicated there's no changes to the plan, but somewhere else I think it says there are changes. So that's my question. Are there changes? If there is, can we get a brief synopsis of what the nature of the things?
Thank you, Councillor Carey. That's a really good question. I can see that Mr. Everett is ready to answer it, so go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. The changes that have been made basically has been more condensed and focused. All the legislation and all of that framework is still in place. Our action plans have been updated. So basically they're more putting onus on landowners, their general biosecurity obligations, making that more clear. And it's just sort of bringing it up to date with our prioritisations as well. So there's been a couple of weeds there that sort of haven't been present, but now are, so we're sort of moving that around and chuffering it. And that's sort of the basis on the biosecurity how it was changed.
Okay, thank you for that. Yeah, Mr.
Green,
do you want to add something?
Through the Chair, I wouldn't mind just adding that each year we have to adopt a surveillance program. So this allows us to authorise our officers to go onto private property and discuss matters with the residents. So this central part of this report is the surveillance program, which we needed to adopt so that we could have some authority to go on to properties and also to enact our heritage eradication program. We've got funding for that this year, so we needed to make sure that we had the surveillance program in place and also that amendments, as Mr. Everett mentioned.
Thank you for that. Any more questions, comments? Are you happy with those answers? All right, if there's no more questions or comments, I'll put to the vote. All those in favour? Thank you. So we'll now go on to the open space policy and strategy.
To arise from that, and it's also a statement to the community about what they can expect in terms of development of open space within their locale. So I think it's commendable. I do have a question though, if I may.
Yes.
There's three places nominated as authorised or approved, the helicopter landing or skydiving. They include Reynolds Park, the Arboretum at the Port Douglas Community Centre and Coronation Park. Do we have approvals for those things to occur at the moment in those places? And secondly, I would ask, is it appropriate, for example, that a helicopter or someone can skydive into, say, the Arboretum at Port Douglas? Are any other approvals necessary, or is this just a blanket approval for those places?
That's a really good question. Are you able to answer that? I mean, I realise sometimes questions have to be taken on notice.
Through the chair. At the moment, that type of activity would be an approval through local laws. So what we've found as officers is that people apply for different things, different open spaces, and as part of our strategy, we wanted to give a matrix at the end of the document that allowed people some, and staff some comfort in the different activities that could be undertaken at different facilities. We have had in the past helicopters landing in those facilities for various events and weddings and private functions that people apply for through the local laws. And we wanted to just solidify our previous approvals through the local law into this strategic document to allow consistency for people applying and also for council staff who are looking at approving these things.
Right, so to take it, there's still an approvals process to go through.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions? look, I'd just certainly like to just quickly wrap up. I do think it's a really comprehensive document, very thorough. I think the matrix is excellent. Certainly as a policy, we know that can be amended circumstances change and we need great flexibility. But I think this is a really good future plan document as Kerry stated. I also echo Councillor Nolan's comments. I mean, I know what I like to see is that we have beautiful open spaces. We want to make sure that they're presented as well as possible, that they're as functional as possible, and that they can be enjoyed and utilised by our entire community. So I think this is at the end of quite a long process, but I think the outcome is excellent, so thank you. So I'll now put it to the vote. All those in favour? Thank you. So we'll now go on to 5.5, which is the Tourism Port Douglas and Bay Tree annual report. I'll have a moment for this. Thank you, Councillor Nolley, seconded by Councillor Zanatawa.
Well, I would obviously encourage people to read the whole report, but there is a little bit of a summary on this page 134 of our agenda, and I think that kind of sums up quite well what the report says, and that should be, I think, noted. If you don't mind, I'd just like to read some of the metrics. It talks about how we have had a 7% increase in domestic visitor numbers in 18-19 from the 17-18 year. Talks about a 4% increase in international visitors. It says there's a 5% increase in visitor nights overall. Also a 5% increase in annual expenditure estimate from 494 million to 520 million. It's quite incredible. They talk about some large projects that TPDD have completed, like the domestic mega for Mill, 35 travel agents visiting the region last December. And yeah, so I won't continue to read them, but I just think if you can't read the whole report, at least have a look at those comments there, because this organisation does a great thing for our community and our shop. So I'm very happy that we have had this opportunity to present it to the public.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Nolan. Does anyone want to speak against? Okay, is there, welcome Mr. Farrelly, holding. Any questions? Questions, comments? Councillor Kirwin?
Yeah, just a comment. I would make the comment that I think the council gets excellent value for money out of tourism and walkways in this country. I think it's an excellent legal, if that's a word, performing organisation. Some other things that are apparent in the report, that Port Douglas and Daintree topped the top tourism sentiment score ahead of 100 other destinations. And also, Port Douglas and Daintree were ahead in the top five over all other Australian destinations. I think that's a fantastic outcome for a small organisation like TPDD. For a relatively small destination like Port Douglas and Daintree. It's also apparent that Port Douglas and Daintree is the only Australian destination to feature in the top 100 list of sustainable destinations. And I think that's the future for tourism in Douglas, is sustainability and the eco-tourism focus. And that's why I said it on a number of occasions before, the same thing with opportunity. I think the council is heading in the right direction with its eco-tourism promotion and carbon offsetting initiatives. And I think that's self-evident just by the outcomes that are apparent in this. So I congratulate TPDD. They're doing a great job and I hope they continue to do so.
Well, thank you, Councillor Carey. I certainly agree with you entirely. Yes, everyone knows I am the council appointed director of the board. Certainly the board was absolutely thrilled with the results of that sentiment score that you referred to. Also, of course, this report highlights the organisation's new strategic direction, and that is to become a world's leading sustainable destination and grow Douglas tourism to $550 million by 2022. So I think it's absolutely vital that the council continues to work very closely with tourism and Douglas Daintree. And I think, as you've already said, is that the funding provided to the organisation is a very good investment, and we are getting good value for money and very strong returns. I know that people continue to love to come and visit Douglas. There is not a week that goes by that I do not speak to a visitor and talk to them about their impressions of our area. And certainly I think things like what we've just been able to complete with the lighting across the street, since that's been switched on, those lights, every night there are people, visitors and locals, taking pictures, taking shots, and putting it on their own social media. And that's really, I think, going to just grow our economy as well, and be very good for the, particularly the traders in the process overall. So the key that we have to do is work together, and then we'll continue to see some really great results. So unless someone else wants to make any statements or comments, all those in favour. Thank you. We'll now go on to 5.6, which is our water and waste water quarterly report for the period ending the 30th of September 2019. Welcome, Mr. Thomas. Who wants to move this one? Co-Councillor Lovely, seconded by Councillor Carey.
I've just got nothing to say. Thank you very much. It's a great report as usual. And I feel that we're in good hands with Mr. Thomas and Mr. Palmer.
Anyone wishing to speak against?
Yes,
no? Okay. Comments. There's lots of stuff here. Lots of nice graphs. Really see how the quality of the reports has substantially increased over the years, and certainly a lot of really good information. One thing that stands out to me though is on page 185 is how quickly staff have responded to complaints. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 here, and we've got information about where it is, the date, how it was resolved, and the response time. think is pretty good. And the longest was 30 kilos. So I just want to, if you want to pass on our thanks to staff in terms of being able to respond. We know water is just so critical when there is a problem for a householder, to have our staff respond so quickly, I'm sure would be very satisfying.
Sure. Okay, pass those on.
Any other comments, councillors?
Yes.
Councillor
Zimmerman. Just like Mr Thompson's question, I'm wearing level one water restrictions. Are we looking like having a increase in the near future?
Look, I can answer that, Councillor Zimmataro. We are going to be moving to the water restrictions as of midnight tomorrow night. So at midnight tomorrow night, we will be on level two water restrictions. As part of the legislative process, the CEO and myself have to sign a document, and we signed that yesterday afternoon. And that is because of the levels at the moment that are in the intakes, and I'll actually ask Mr. Thompson if you're happy to give a bit of a crazy of some of the information we talked about yesterday. We certainly know it has been a lot drier and it's getting drier.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Zamtara, as I'm sure everyone can appreciate, it's a long dry spell. It's very similar to last year. We started off in a better position with the extended wet, but the rate at which the Rex Creek intake has dropped is following the same decline in water level. So we've got to a point now where this morning the best thing is that certainly
tracking very low in terms of our expenditure, which is really critical for when we need to be in a position to suffer whatever shocks might come our way. Any other comments, councillors? Everyone happy? Thank you again. Please thank your finance staff as well. All those in favour of this report? Thank you. So that brings us to the end of our open session, the items of that. And so as I'm required to do, I'll read out what's in the closed session. So we have a contractual matter, that's 9.1, proposed land assumption and road opening, part of lot 62, Tribulation Road, SP1.6.21. The second item is a prejudicial matter, and that is a contract for 2019, the RFA Road Restoration Program. And the third matter is 9.3, prejudicial matter again, and that's tourism board governance matrix annual report financials. So do I have someone to move into closed session? I thank you, Councillor Kerr, seconded by Councillor Samatara. All those in favour? Thank you, it's unanimous. Thanks, everyone.